Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I just want to share some thoughts on this verse as a way of giving encouragement, some challenge, and some instruction to fathers today. This is a pretty short verse, but it's really, really packed with all sorts of instruction and help and encouragement, I think, for fathers. It talks about something to avoid right away when it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Now, the word there actually has to do with anger. It has to do with frustration. It's obviously not saying, "Fathers, never get your children angry." That's absolutely impossible. If there's anybody that you love, you will sometimes have to tell them things that they don't want to hear. And that means that you will always get people angry if you love them and if you're in a love relationship and if you're not a complete coward. So it doesn't mean that, but actually it means something worse. It really means it's possible for fathers and parents in general, but especially fathers, I think, to create in their children a sort of settled anger, a disposition of being frustrated and resentful in an abiding and permanent way. So really, Paul's laying out here something pretty frightening. He says it's very possible to, because of our parenting, to raise angry children. Doesn't mean children won't sometimes get angry at you if you're doing it right. But if we're not parenting like we ought to, it can create a settled anger, a settled disposition of frustration and resentment. Now, what can create that? How can we avoid that? Well, the rest of the verse tells us. Because Paul says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead," so instead means this is the way, "bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And there's three things there that Paul's telling us that I think will be really helpful. First of all, first thing he's telling us is about a balance between training and instruction. You know, it's a shame. These words never get translated very well. They're hard to translate. The older versions say, "bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That's no help. That's no more help than training and instruction. One word, the word that comes out as training, is a word that really means chastening. It means discipline. It means firmness. It means enforcing boundaries. So let's just call that discipline. Discipline. The second word, which is called instruction here, really is a word for counseling. It has to do with dialoguing and reasoning and listening to and persuading. It's very discipline. Discipline, you're laying down the rules. In counseling, you're listening and you're coaxing and you're loving and you're bringing them along. And it's very interesting that Paul would say that if you're going to keep them from being exasperated and angry, you have to balance truth and love. You have to balance discipline and counseling. See, the first way you can create this resentful, frustrated, angry kid is to be unbalanced. If you over-discipline, if you only discipline, if you have too many rules, if you're hitting on the rules all the time, you're forgetting the kid's a human being. He's in the image of God. He's not a dog or a cat or a lion to be trained. But on the other hand, if you only reason with them, if you're only dialogue and talk and persuade and all that sort of thing, you can just as frustrate them because you're forgetting that they're not adults. So if you over-discipline, you're forgetting that they're not animals. But if you under-discipline them, if you just always talk and coax and persuade them and let them run things, you're forgetting that they're not adults. Kathy and I have always tended to over-counsel, over-reason with our children. Spend a lot of time talking and explaining why this is the way they should do it. And that has frustrated them over the years because we gave them the impression that they have to understand the reason before they obey. We gave them the impression that unless they understood completely, then they didn't have to obey. On the other hand, parents who over-discipline, which we did not, give children they're frustrated, and give children the anger that comes from feeling their parents never listen to them. The parents are never reasonable. So, you see, it's so critical to be, on the one hand, parents who counsel their children, give them time, listen to them, give them touch, give them affection, but on the other hand, are utterly consistent absolutely predictable in laying down good and smart rules and sticking with them. That's the first thing. If you don't want angry kids, you need to balance loving nurture and counsel with firm discipline admonition. Don't under or over discipline. Now, there's a second way, Paul says here, that you've got to, second balance, that you've got to maintain. And the second balance is where he says, bring them up. Bring them, or actually the older translation is a little better, raise them up. Now, you see, this means you've got to be careful about not keeping them too dependent on you, or on the other hand, pushing them out into independence too soon. So, for example, first of all, it says, bring them up. The purpose of parenting is to bring them up. It means it's to get your children ready to not need you. It means to get your children to be in a position where they can move from being dependent on you to having the ability to critically choose what is right and wrong and move out and not depend on you. The whole idea of the word up is very important. And it means you have to trust them so that they fail. It means that you have to give them the freedom to fail. It means not needing to hold on to them so tightly because you're always living your life out through them. And it really does mean letting them go. But on the other hand, Paul doesn't just say raise them up. He says raise them up. And that's a word of gradation. It's a gradual word. It means if you push your children out too quickly, or if you have too many problems in your own life, so that the children feel that without process and without proper help and work, they have been pushed out to be, in a sense, adults before they wanted to, they're going to be very, very frustrated. If they feel they weren't covered, they weren't supported, their parents weren't engaged with them. So the second big important balance is a balance between raising them up and raising them up. A balance between letting them get out so they're not dependent on you, but at the same time giving them the kind of support that they need so that they do not feel that they've been pushed into independence too quickly. Now, the third thing that you have to do if you're going to keep your children from living frustrated, angry lives is you have to bring them up or raise them up in the nurture and in the discipline of the Lord. That's the third thing. And what's that mean? Just means this. It means that you do have to say to your children, this is who God is. This is who God is to me. This is who God should be to you. It's very, very natural nowadays for modern people to say, well, I don't want to impose my faith on my kids. I certainly want them to choose for themselves. But, you know, studies have actually shown, and I don't have the time to quote them and pull them out, studies have shown that even parents who give poor or erroneous moral instruction are not frustrating their children like parents who give no moral instruction. The only way to really abdicate as a parent is to say to a child, well, I'm not going to tell you what to believe. Even if you tell a child, I want you to be a Mormon, and it turns out the child later on finds out that Mormonism is a cult. or to say, I want you to be a Christian, and later on the child decides he wants to be a Buddhist. That is not moral abdication. But what is moral abdication is to just not point the child to any Lord, not to point the child to the Lord, not to point the child to what is right. And this is the reason why in our baptismal vows, when we ask parents to take vows as they bring their children for baptism, we always ask them to vow to three things. First of all, to pray with and for their children. Secondly, to openly talk about their own walk and testimony. Say what God has meant to you. Say where you have been. Share your testimony. And then thirdly, live a godly example. Get your life together to the point where your child, living with you, sees that you're living a morally consistent life, consistent with your beliefs. And unless you're able to do that, you're going to raise children who are very frustrated with hypocrisy or just the ennui, the lack of direction and orientation toward the things of the Spirit. Now, you know, that's a lot. If you're going to avoid having your children be angry and frustrated, discouraged, a settled disposition like that, you have to have a balance of truth and love. You have to have a balance of not making them too dependent on you and not pushing them out too soon and making them independent. And you have to be willing to talk very freely about your own faith and point them to your Lord. Now, you say, how can I do that? Well, don't forget this. The gospel, of course. Some of you knew I was going to say that. But now think about it for a second. Think about it. The gospel is that because of what Jesus Christ has done, because we're saved by what he has done, we're simultaneously just and yet sinful. We are completely accepted in the Beloved, but at the same time, in ourselves, we are sinners and unworthy. What does that do? It does everything. Think about all the things we just went over. Why is it that many of us under-discipline our children? We under-discipline our children. I can tell you this. I tended to under-discipline my children because I wanted their approval. I couldn't bear to have them look at me and call me a cruel person because I needed their approval, and I really wasn't living out of who I was in Christ. You see, the gospel alone frees me from the need for my children's approval to discipline them sufficiently. Or on the other hand, why do some of us over-discipline? Why do some people, not me, but why do many parents, why do we over-discipline? We over-discipline our kids because we can't bear them to be failures. We can't bear them to be imperfect. We can't bear them to be wrong in any way. And the gospel, and only the gospel, will free you from the need to have your children be just right, just perfect. There's a tremendous number of parents who are utterly humiliated if their kids aren't just right, if they're not making great grades in school, if they're not being completely polite to everybody they speak to. Only the gospel will free you from the need to have your children look like you or be like you or be perfect, because you have to get that out of your identity in Christ. Let's go a little further. We said some parents tend to keep their children dependent on them. Why? Because they need to feel that their children need them. They need to be needed. That, again, is a lack of orientation to the gospel. You're forgetting who you are in Christ. You're trying to get something from your children that you can only get from Jesus. Or, on the other hand, we said some parents tend to push their children up too soon. We need them to be away. We almost need them to be independent. We don't want them around. We don't want them clinging to us. We've got our own issues. We've got our own problems. And, of course, the gospel leads us to the place where we don't have to have that kind of selfishness in our lives. And we don't need to be so free and so comfortable because of what Jesus has done for us. See, the gospel alone will give you the kind of experience that you can share with your children. The gospel will give you the kind of experience that you can testify to so that your children will actually be interested. Without the gospel, you don't have that balance of truth and love. You can't have that balance of dependence and independence, and you won't be able to point them to your Lord in a way that's winsome and attractive. But with the gospel, you've got everything you need to do everything you've got to do as a father so that your children will not grow up exasperated but filled with courage and hope. Now, that's a challenge. Hopefully that's encouragement, and that's a word of instruction for Father's Day. Thanks for listening.